The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Cleveland baseball has a new name, the Guardians, named after the Guardians of Traffic sculptures right outside the stadium. And this is the logo. And as Jonah Bierenbaum points out, kind of looks like Holy Walnuts. Yo! Oh! Wait a second, what do we got over here? Oh!
What do you see? What do you hear? Go. What do you know?
Think of it this way. If New York was announcing their new baseball team today, and they said, we got the Yankees, or Metropolitans, or in LA, the Dodgers, people would be like, huh? Teams named for people who like Red Sox. We have roommates in the womb. They're twins. I mean, how many baseball names are out there? So Guardians, after the Guardians of traffic sculpture on the Hope Memorial Bridge right outside the stadium. That's the inspiration. The team posted this from their Twitter handle, which continues to be the old name, which they are changing from for offensive reasons, yet they still keep the old name on their Twitter handle. And it has a similar typeface, as you can see there. June Lee, we'll start with you. Welcome to the program. Do the Cleveland Guardians hit the mark?
I was at first a little bit disappointed because I was of the proponent that the Spiders should have been the team nickname. There was a lot of potential for a cool logo, cool uniforms. But I think overall, I think my second impression was it's a little too late, but at least we're getting there. I was a big fan of the Art Deco logo, the design of that baseball and the wings.
Mm-hmm. You liked it.
Guardians, I'm kind of lukewarm on, but again, like you pointed out, like a lot of these team names, they take time to grow on you. Baseball has two teams that are named after socks. So I'm going to give it some time before I really kind of move forward here.
Israel Gutierrez, did they hit the mark here in Cleveland?
I mean, they hit a mark, and they hit a far better mark than the last name. It's also odd that, you know, you mentioned this, Tony, like people's association with these team names. This is the fifth team name in Cleveland baseball history, so it can change again if for some reason you don't like the Guardians. I don't love the Guardians just for baseball because I don't really know what you're guarding in baseball, right? There's not a goal behind you to guard, but I don't mind the logo. I think it's pretty cool, and I like the fact that Tom Hanks was in the intro video, and a lot of people don't know that he's a big Cleveland baseball fan and that he got his Actors Equity card in the late 70s in Cleveland and became
right?
an Indians fan then. So how about him doing the video?
Now he's
Can't get much better than
now
Tom
he's
Hanks.
A Guardians fan. Sarah Spain, did Cleveland hit the mark?
Well, you say Polly Walnuts. I saw someone else say it looked like the old flying toaster screensaver, which it really does, and also brought back such intense warmth of a simpler time. The nostalgia for the flying toasters made me happy. The name and the logos, not so much. One of my concerns is, if you look at that, especially with the script, it is incredibly easy to chop off the first half of the A, and guess what you got? Indians. The back of the A, the R looks like an N in script. It says Indians. And I just feel like there are too many people out there who are going to be angry about the change and are going to make use of masking tape or otherwise to protest. They just made it a little too easy by making the name so similar. I like the Spiders. I think it would have been
a better Spiders name. Was, of course, an original name, one of the other names, as Israel was talking about. People have nominated Rocks, Cleveland Rocks, which would have been
Rockers,
which is pretty close to the Rockies and maybe why they didn't go there. Bill Plaschke, I'll bring you in here on the Guardians. They hit the mark?
Well, first, it makes me think of Guardians of the Galaxy. Uga Shaka, Uga Shaka. I can't stop the stealing.
There you go.
I love
Listen
this
to him, man.
Nickname.
Wow, he's on
this
a roll.
This is great. The owner, Paul Dolan, said that this represents the pride, the loyalty, the resiliency of Clevelanders who are the guardians of their town's reputation. And does any town guardian, are there any more strident guardians of their town than Cleveland of its reputation?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they stick up for the team. They stick up for the city. It's a great old school nickname. And I can even hear it in the stands. Let's go, Guardians. That works.
Sarah Spade back in.
It works.
I do just want to say that we all are going to react almost like this to almost anything because we're just not used to hearing it and seeing it. So I do give them credit for changing it. The progress is still.
Do any of you guys know what a Dodger was?
Yes.
Bill, tell us the story. Since it's, of course, Brooklyn.
It's the kids who dodge the streetcars. Yep.
The trolley cars in Brooklyn. And now they're not in Brooklyn. Not many trolley cars are native to Los Angeles. And yet there's
what's the Lakers. And the Utah
Jazz. And the Lakers,
Jazz.
Of course, come from Minneapolis. And the Jazz came from New Orleans. But now they're in Utah. And baseball has so many record skip names. And there's a team named the Athletics. Hey, we do athletics. Yeah, no kidding. You're a baseball team. We got it. And we still love it. I think you'll grow to love the Guardians. We'll move on.
Yes.
How the Giants beat the Dodgers last night. This play at second was the final out. It was a Dodgers win. It was reviewed, and Jason Vossler just beat it. Overturned. Inning went on. Then Kenley Jansen thought he got Darren Ruff for the game-ending strikeout, but check swing, walk, tying run comes in. Dave Roberts was ejected for that. And after two more Giants cross, San Fran wins again, takes the series, and the division lead is up to three. The best record in baseball belongs to San Francisco right now, Bill Plaschke. What did the Giants prove this series? What are the champs failing to prove right now?
Well, the Giants proved they're going to stick around. I mean, this is a huge swing. They had four games in a loss column with the Dodgers. They're not going anywhere. But this also shows the Dodgers aren't going anywhere either. They're stuck in neutral. They're stuck in a shadow of last season's team. They've blown three straight games when they lead entered the ninth inning for the first time in franchise history. Kenley Jansen, three straight blown saves for the first time in his history. Cody Bellinger is 0 for 25. Betts is hurt. Seager is hurt. Kershaw is hurt. The defense is terrible. They need help. They need the trading deadline. They need to do something because they're not going back to the World Series at this rate.
All good information for Bill Plaschke. But can you mention the Giants for a second? Sarah Spade, I'll bring you in here.
Yeah, I mean, I need a bigger sample size from Kenley Jansen to be thinking that this is something to be freaking out about. I think he's going to be fine. So I'm much more interested in the Giants. And you look at that sort of core that's won a couple series with them, World Series, that is, and they wanted to see if they can make one more run at it. They go out and get a bunch of veteran pitchers, all of them on one-year deals that have outperformed expectations to the tune of a potential Cy Young winner if DeGrom doesn't get healthy. And you look at this team, and a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we were like, I don't know if they could keep this up. First team to 60 wins, best record in baseball. And you're seeing a team that got put together in the offseason on these singular one-year deals that actually could go the distance. I think that's a little bit more interesting.
Israel Gutierrez.
I agree, too, but I think the reason why it's sort of the Dodgers are interesting there because they could overreact and make this seem like their season's falling apart right here when they did just lose 3 of 4 to the team with the best record in baseball. And again, when Kenley Jansen, I agree, I'm not going to overreact there because if you want to talk three in a row, sure, but really it's the last two because the one before that was an earned run and you can't really, you know, take that guy to task for that. So you look at all those factors together, the health, the pitching rotation is not what it's supposed to be right now. If they can sort of withstand this and continue, you know, to stay maybe 3 or 4 games back there, they should be fine down the stretch. They've got to get healthier. They've got to get better. They've got to figure out Kenley Jansen down the backstretch. But this is not something to overreact about this at this point.
And June.
It is not a Dodgers season unless the storyline at one point turns to freaking out about whether Kenley Jansen should be the closer. I really think this is more a story about the Giants. This is a team where Kevin Gausman, who is suddenly has a sub-2 ERA this season. You have Anthony DeSclafani, who was a sub-3 ERA. Mike Yastrzemski was a career minor leaguer before he got to San Francisco and has turned into a star there. This is a team built around depth. You have Evan Longoria, who obviously had that heyday as a big star in Tampa Bay. This is a team that Farhan Zaidi has put together that is built around depth and has clearly shown at this point of the season that they're here to stay, that they're one of the best teams in the league and that they're forced to be reckoned with.
Flash, get back in.
You know who the Dodgers could use, who they might go out and get? Max Scherzer. How about that?
Okay. All right, here we go. Another Cy Young in their staff. You're absolutely right about that.
They're going to make a big trade. They're going to make a big trade at the deadline, and it might as well be Scherzer.
Do you think they're going to, or you think they should?
I think they should. Oh, they have to. Okay. They need two starting pitchers. The window's closing. They need a stud starting pitcher. Scherzer's out there.
I know what's on your mind right now. Give it to him, please. Come on, we're here.
I just wanted to know if you updated your prediction for 118 wins. Window's closing now. I thought it was the best team ever.
Oh, Bill, look at this. You're wearing it right now, Bill. Okay. taking a break right here. Sarah Spain, on the strength of that, gets past Plaschke into second with 20. June Lee leading the way with 22. Buyer sell on the other side.
The Cubs are the big sellers.
Let's focus on your failures. Yeah.
On sports.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The Olympics opening ceremony tonight, which was our this morning, opening in a closed stadium in front of no fans, a crowd of officials and all the competitors from other countries. It'll be shown again tonight, so you can have it, see it if these photos are not enough for you. But you did, look, Naomi Osaka is lighting the torch. Bill Plaschke, normally such a source of celebration, this year was different. Did it work for you?
Yeah, well, I talked to some colleagues who were at Olympic Stadium, and they said that during a moment of silence for the COVID-19 victims, they could hear the protest outside from the angry mob protesting that they shouldn't have had the Olympics because of the COVID-19 victims. So it was that kind of thing. And this is the Olympics that shouldn't be. They never should have tried this. It's supposed to bring the world together, not put a city and a country at risk, not supposed to risk lives. This never should have happened, and the silence was today at the Olympic Stadium was deserved.
Sarah, did you see this as a celebration, or did you see this as something that shouldn't have happened?
I saw it described, I think, perfectly as beautiful but doomed. For as much work as they put into it, as incredible as the visuals and exciting for the athletes involved, the inevitability of how Bill portrayed it is accurate. The context can't be forgotten of the larger issues around the games. I'm going to use cognitive dissonance the same way I've done in the last year plus for other sporting events, to watch it, to cheer on the people who are fulfilling a life goal, who aren't returning to some professional league and millions of dollars where this is the apex of everything they've worked for. I'm going to do my best to watch and root for them to have an incredible time while still understanding the larger picture.
Israel, what did you say?
Yeah, I agree with you, Sarah. I think the one thing where I see this is different is this isn't just us sort of watching a sporting event again. It's the entire world coming together into one city or one part of the world in Japan there. And I wonder, you know, I worry about the people that are there having to live through this because we're prioritizing these athletic achievements and this TV money and everything else. So hopefully the reporting is accurate and proper so that we can find the right balance with what's actually happening in those cities and in that country and, you know, being able to celebrate our nations.
Israel, you're alluding to, I think the most recent poll I saw was some 80% of the citizens did not want to host the Olympic Games. June Lee, what did you see tonight? Typically, this is maybe one of the greatest moments in the athlete's life, to walk into the stadium. What did you see today?
Yeah, I mean, this cognitive dissonance Sarah mentioned, I think, is the reason why it is so hard for me personally to be able to get excited about these Olympic Games. Part of what makes the Olympics so great, and I had the opportunity and the pleasure to do that in 2018 for the Pyeongchang, South Korea Winter Olympics, was that you're around all these people from all these different countries, you see all the languages, and you have this incredible crowd of fans who are so excited about these athletes who are achieving this life accomplishment of goals in athletics. And so it's hard for me to get excited just because you're missing such a large element of the Olympics without the fans there.
Bill, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I've covered 12 Olympics, and the coolest moment at the Olympics generally is at the opening ceremonies when the host country's delegation marches in and the roar is deafening and you get chill bumps, you get teary-eyed. Yeah. They walk into silence.
Was nice to see Naomi Osaka light the torch. Thanks for your thoughts on that. We'll move on. Buy or sell two, fallout from the NFL's missive to teams and players about getting vaccinated or risking forfeit is ongoing, and it's getting tense. Bill's teammates Jonathan Feliciano and Jerry Hughes here. This was bordering on uncomfortable, and it was on the science of the vaccine. Rams coach Quincy Avery and Jalen Ramsey differing on what makes a good teammate. Leonard Fournette flat out saying no to the vaccine, then deleted that tweet. Matt Judon is pissed off with the players union. DeAndre Hopkins posted he would question his future in the league before being forced to get the vaccine. Then he deleted that. Today in news, Courtney Cronin, ESPN, reporting the Minnesota Vikings have parted ways with offensive line coach and run game coordinator Rick Dennison after his refusal to get the vaccine. This demonstrates how serious and urgent this is right now. Hearing players say no to the vaccine, hearing a coach now parting ways with a team over it. Sarah, what position is the NFL in?
They're in a position of strength because they're making these decisions based on science and facts. We know that 98% of people hospitalized with COVID in the country right now are unvaccinated. 99% of people dying from COVID in this country right now are unvaccinated. If you are choosing not to get vaccinated, you're putting yourself, your team, your staff, your city, your globe at further risk. And that's a choice that you make, but you are held accountable for your choices, just like we've had requirements to be vaccinated to go to school the entirety of my lifetime. This is yet another opportunity, even if it's money that's driving this, for the NFL to be a leader to other places to see how this might force people into action.
Israel?
Yeah, when they're basically in the same position as any other employer as you try to navigate this, is obviously there's a lot of eyes on the NFL. And my only question is, as Sarah pointed out, the facts on one side is for those who are not choosing to have the vaccine or say they will not, then I just need more reasons as to why. And I'm not asking for detailed family history, but if there's a medical history, say there's the reason for that. Because unless you're coming with facts like the other side is, it doesn't really make much sense for you to be creating this type of chaos.
Dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL is operating from a position of facts here, and that's a position of strength at this current moment because it is benefiting the finance and the way that the league is going to make its money. I mean, this is reflective, I think, of a larger conversation of America, and this is an instance of where sports is reflecting its culture right now, where the nuance and the conversation around this vaccine discussion is only going to continue to heat up as we get closer to schools reopening and people returning to offices. This is just another instance of that.
But you would admit, I mean, these are DeAndre Hopkins is one of the biggest stars in the game. Jalen Ramsey, among the biggest stars in the game. You're hearing what they're saying. A coach and a team parting ways over this, Bill Plaschke. This escalated a bit.
It's important to note they all have a choice. NFL's given everyone a choice. If you don't want to be vaccinated in your front office, you lose your job. If you don't want to be vaccinated in your locker room, you put your teammates at risk with their wallets. You're going to cost you money, cost you game checks. They're giving them all a choice. And I can't imagine, I can't believe a player wouldn't want to get vaccinated for his teammates at this point. It would be, that's absurd. It's just absurd.
Well, it could be like an opt-out last year. Players opted out because they didn't want to put themselves
just
at risk.
Just leave
it. Could be opting out this year because they didn't want to put themselves in a position to get the vaccine. Buy or sell three, Marcus Thompson, second of The Athletic, reporting about the Golden State Warriors. Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green have all appealed to the GM, Bob Myers. Do what needs to be done. Trade the two lottery picks, whatever. Get someone who can help immediately in the report listing Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, Pascal Siakam on that wish list. Israel, is that possible? Are the Warriors in play? Their lottery picks are number 7 and 14.
Yeah, least surprising thing I've read today was veteran players don't want young rookies. They want veteran talent on their team. And yes, the Warriors happen to be in a good position because not only do they have players still in their prime who are capable of and have won championships, but they have those draft picks. And those draft picks are what you really need to make a real Beal.
7 and 14, enough for Bradley Beal or Damian Lillard, June Lee?
With a player thrown in.
I just want to know how Andrew Wiggins reacted to hearing that all of his teammates were like, yeah, Andrew Wiggins, we can forget about him. Let's go get Bradley Beal.
He's been in that situation before in Cleveland, I believe. Bill Plaschke, how about you?
This is perfect. The Warriors were still the 20th ranked offense last year, even with Curry. They need a score. They need Beal. And those draft picks are currencies that can't be matched by other teams. I say this deal gets done. I think this totally can possibly get done.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, the draft picks aren't good enough, so probably Wiggins is gone. A team might ask for Wiseman, someone that they don't want to part with. So if they're going to go out and get one of those stars, it needs to be either a combination of that player really wants out or they give up more than they really want to.
Bill Plaschke, June Lee, enough to advance, Sarah Spain, Israel Gutierrez. I believe we were talking baseball before. Why aren't we doing that? Watch out, guys. Look at this. Yo! Oh. Bill Plaschke, June Lee, and shutout. 2 minutes. We are first two big trades of the baseball trading season. Tampa Bay involved in both. Nelson Cruz to the Rays and Rich Hill from the Rays to the Mets. Bill, does trading the timeless curving wonder and trading for the timeless slugging thunder put Tampa over the top?
Yes, it does. Cruz is exactly what they need. They need a full-time DH. They need a guy who doesn't strike out, who hits hits with power. He's ninth in OPS this year, fourth in OPS the last two seasons, and a postseason OPS of 1.019.
Woo! Perfect. Listen to those stats, Plaschke. June, how about you?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cruz is going to be great for that Rays clubhouse. I mean, he's one of the most thoughtful interviews in baseball. For a little bit there, we had the Rays having two of the three oldest people in baseball in that clubhouse until the Mets got Rich Hill. But this is going to be a great addition for that Rays lineup.
Dude, you're such a reporter. The guy's hit the most home runs over the last decade and a half in baseball, shockingly. You know, he's been an ageless wonder. And the first thing you say is, he's a great interview. I appreciate that. Maybe not the thing you lead with here, but move on. The ring that gives all the other rings a finger. Buccaneers, look at this ring for winning the Super Bowl. 319 diamonds, a removable top that shows Raymond James Stadium. June, gaudy or so gaudy it's cool?
I love being able to take off the top of the ring, especially given that Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl in its own home stadium. Something I would probably never wear, but maybe we'll see it on an eBay auction at some point in 15 years.
Yeah, June, not only would you not wear it, the players don't wear it anymore either. So rings are like little trophies. They're not even like rings anymore. So it's perfect. Players put it on their mantle, put it in a safe deposit box. That's where it belongs.
Bill Plaschke, where you belong? FaceTime for today.
Tony, I got to tell you, I am so sick of this shift. I am too old for this shift. I'm talking about this shift in baseball
on,
that I hate to watch it. I was at Dodger Stadium last night, and I saw groundouts to short right field, groundouts up the middle. It's unfair. It's not right. Baseball needs to change it. They need to make a rule where two fielders on each side of second base, both fielders in the dirt, nobody in the grass. Nobody can say, other sports, dude, other sports have formation rules. Why can't baseball have formation rules? I'm sick of this shift.
Where do we stand on Plaschke's dad jokes? Where do we stand? That's it.